Welcome to the Own Your Hustle podcast. My name is Ruby Lee. I'm a side hustle coach, entrepreneur, and all the energy you need to turn your idea into freedom. Here's a little something about me. I was once nearly fired for having a side hustle, and today I dedicate my life and business to enabling early stage entrepreneurs everywhere to create options in their career and abundance on their own terms, some while still balancing a day job. Side hustlers are the future of work, and I am unapologetic for our ambition. From working through your 100 ideas to creating a successful sideline business, I'll share my own experiences, practical tips, and help you crush through those mindset blockers. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get started. Today I am speaking to Bridget Patton, but we call her Bids, right?
So yeah.
Bids is awesome. Bids is from New Zealand. She is honestly the opposite of a highlight reel human. I love that this is on your website as well, Bids. Like, you just give your followers and your friends just a real breath of fresh air, especially those of us that are prone to falling into the comparisonitis trap. And I love how much you just openly share the raw stuff that happens in your life, the things that most of us kind of think, oh, well, that doesn't belong on social media because it feels awkward to share that. But you just glow online on that, in that space, and you just give us all an opportunity to be ourselves. You are so accessible this way, and you are so incredibly empowering to those around you. So I'm very, very, very excited to have you on the podcast. Welcome, Bids.
Thank you so much. I'm feeling so honored to be here, and that is the best introduction I've ever had. So thank you.
So Bids, you're a goals coach, and you also have a clothing label, which is GDMZ. We'll talk about those in just a sec. But tell us a little bit about how it all started for you. Where did it all begin, this entrepreneur side of you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have a background in primary school teaching. So I actually went to university for four years and came out with my Bachelor of Teaching and a graduate diploma as well. And I started my journey with teaching and got halfway through my second year, and it just wasn't aligning, and it felt a lot more heavier than I hoped. There were definitely elements of it that I loved. I loved working with the kids, having that creative channel to, you know, whip up lessons on whatever I felt like and was passionate about. But there was just too much extra work involved, which I'm sure many teachers listening will 100% resonate. And I just knew that the way that I was feeling, going to sleep, waking up and feeling anxious and dreading the day and looking at the clock until, you know, counting down until 3 o'clock, that it's just not something I could continue it. So halfway through my second year, I started studying my diploma in professional coaching, and that was more so an interest decision. I've always done some extra study on the side while I was teaching, and even after I had a year off after uni, just because I love learning. You know, there's so much to learn. So I started doing this diploma in professional coaching, and yeah, you know, I got into it a couple of papers in, and I was like, whoa, this is really lighting me up. It's feeling amazing. This is what I do myself, you know, set goals, always hold myself accountable. I'm always striving for something more. And then it came to the practical papers where you actually had to work with four different coaching clients. And as soon as I went through that first session with the first practical client, I was like, yeah, this is something I want to do. And then the last paper was a really basic how to set up your own coaching business. So this would have been about 4, possibly even 5 years ago when I did the study, and it just outlined it so basically. I was like, well, why can't I do this? You know, like, why not? And then it kind of took off from there.
Wow. So whilst you were primary school teaching, were you also taking on coaching clients by then?
Yeah. So I did 2 full years of full-time teaching and gained my teaching registration in New Zealand. And then I transitioned into relief teaching. So following that second year of full-time teaching, I started relief teaching, where I was able to continue that study because it was a year long, it was a diploma. And then once the diploma was complete, I was doing coaching part-time, you know, started with a handful of clients and relieved for another year and a half. So I relieved for 2 years while I was building the coaching
business. Wow. See, that's amazing, right? I mean, like, just seeing that transition and how much of it just came to life for you. I actually just, as you were describing that, I felt just that aliveness, just, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. And this is what I was always meant to do. And I know that feeling, it's so familiar when you suddenly go, oh my gosh, like I found the thing. And, you know, it evolves over time. And I love that in your case, you've really strengthened your coaching practice. But at the same time, I think what is really interesting is that you've started a fashion label. You started a bit of a merch line. So when did that come into play with for your merch line, GD and Z?
Yeah, so GD and Z, the label. So we've just recently relaunched that. It did start off as GD and Z, the clothing. So it started off as more so, I guess, a bit of a promo. So I had my friend Victoria Faith do up some designs, some mock-ups of some singlets that were for me to wear online for friends and family to wear, just to kind of start the conversation around what Gold Diggers NZ is. So I had them done and, you know, asked friends and family, you know, would you like to order them? What would you like? And I'm not sure how many we had done, but we had a handful done. And then they started wearing them around and I started showing my followers and my audience them. And there was just this huge demand for them. You know, people were messaging me being like, how do I order? Where do I get them from? Are you bringing out a new line? So it kind of just started organically from demand. So we started that, the first collection probably maybe 2 years ago. And so we did that first collection for about 18 months. And then I took a break from it because I found that I had kind of just mashed it all together because of demand. And I hadn't really thought through, okay, what is the purpose, intention, mission, vision behind this side of the business? So we've just recently relaunched this year, where we have a more clear idea of the brand, the strategy, the mission, the vision, the values, and I'm so proud of what we have come up with. So it's all based on sustainability, really making sure that the environment's looked after, not just from the garments we are selling, but also the packaging, the post bags, the marketing material, postcards that we send out, and as well as that, looking at the ethics behind the garments that we're printing on, where they're coming from. And then we are also giving back as well. So every purchase, there is a donation made to a monthly chosen charity.
Oh my gosh, I love it because, you know, it just is such a different space to coaching. But at the same time, it all links back to growing what you believe in. Everything you do is so linked to values. And you and I, when we coach together, you and I discussed having these two distinct brands, you know, like your personal brand, then it was like the label and what that would look like. And this is going to be super interesting for a lot of people listening in who are multi-passionate entrepreneurs. And, you know, even me, like I started a very small merchandise line last year and it's been surprisingly quite fun to do. And, you know, for me, it just kind of sits on the website. It's some nice, like passive income. If people want to go buy the t-shirts or, you know, whatever, buy the tote bags, that's so nice. And it's so amazing, don't you think, when you see people tag you on Instagram with your tops or like just whatever it is that you've designed, it's like, ah. But, you know, for those that are thinking, okay, maybe it's not specifically a label, but just wanting to do a few different lines of business, how did you come to the decision to have different brands? You've decided to go down two very distinct brands, like two separate websites, two separate Instagram pages. Like, did you take a lot of time working that out and why did you decide to split them?
Great question. So there's actually three. So there's Bridget Padden, which is my personal brand. There's Gold Diggers NZ, which is the coaching business. And then there's GDNZ, the label, which is the clothing. So I really defined those different brands probably second half of last year. Everything was just feeling a bit mishmash together, and I needed some clarity around my content pillars, what I wanted to be posting about for each one. There's certainly a lot of overlap between them and things that resonate and values, similar values throughout them. But I really wanted a strong identity for each. So my personal brand, I decided to branch into a personal brand because I used to have the business Gold Diggers NZ and myself together as one account on social media. And there were definitely elements that worked well, but I also found myself being quite confused about what to post. So I've chosen to have a personal brand, which is where I can post, I guess, more personal experience, what I'm up to in my day-to-day life, really, I guess more deeper insights into my life, things I'm interested in that perhaps don't align with coaching. But then in saying that, with Gold Diggers NZ and within the coaching business, there are definitely elements of my personal life that link in with that too. But really wanting to streamline the business brand, more goals focus, more value, more tools for clients and audience to walk away with, more services there. And then obviously GDNZ, the label, is more clothing product based, but also the values are woven in between. We do quite a lot of repurposing content between brands as well, but I also have that clear vision for each one. I know what the ultimate goal is, and I know what messages I want to be sharing on each platform.
It's so clear. And I have to say, your own personal page on Instagram, I love your stories so much. You know how you have like the top people that you follow and it's always like it always gets refreshed? I am seriously always stalking yours, babe, because it is so funny as well. Like you and the way that you just love life, and especially because where you live, it's just so nature driven. You go on lots of hikes and you take your beautiful puppy around with you everywhere. Like, oh my God, I'm like, ah. And this is the thing, your personal brand, the way I observe it, you know, and I'm sure for those of you that know Beards or that will be getting to know Beards, I'll link all of the things that we're talking about around the Beards brand below in the show notes. But there's just this real chill and a real calm about you. And what I think is super special is that you've really brought this holistic approach to the way you do business to life. You know, today you really help your clients focus on that holistic approach. And there's just an overall real weaving of the well-being, the routines, the foundation. And you know me, Bids, like I'm someone who really struggles to chill. Like my mind is always, always like tick, 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 ticking away. Like, what's your advice to someone like me who races ahead and can sometimes forget to stop?
Great question. And it's so funny because I get like that too. I go between, you know, having all the ideas, all the energy, struggling to sleep with excitement, waking up with excitement, and then the kind of opposite where I'm just super chill and I'm also flow as opposed to schedule and force myself. So it's just finding that balance. One thing that I encourage my clients to do is adding in something called white space into their weekly schedule. So that it's a term that is going around. I'm not sure if you've heard of it before, Rubes, or use it yourself.
No, I haven't.
So that is where you block out a certain amount of time that is realistic to you. So for me, it's usually about two hours, once or twice a week. And that, so you block it out in your calendar and it's called white space. And you don't actually decide what you're going to do within that white space until you get to that time. And you sit down and you check in and you think, okay, what's going to serve me right now? Is it going to be heading out into nature and just chilling? No headphones, no podcast, no technology, just getting out in nature. Is it having a nap? Is it reading a book? Is it doing something that has been on your list for weeks, and you know that as soon as it gets ticked off, you're going to feel lighter. So this idea of white space is something that allows you to slow down and really check in with, okay, what's a task or what's an experience or an action that I can do right now that is going to really serve me and my higher self.
Oh my gosh, I love that. You know what really struck home for me just then? I was like, oh yeah, I can go for a walk, I'll get a nature, but I will always be plugged in, listening to either music or something, you know. But I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't remember the last time I went on a nature walk without having just something plugged into my ears. So thank you. I will be taking that with me. And I love the idea of the white space. I haven't heard of it, so I haven't done it, but I think it's going to really serve a lot of people here going, that's the thing key. And just listening to that, I kind of feel already like quite zen, like quite rested.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. It's so nice. Okay, so one thing that I read recently on your blog was you turned down an all-expenses-paid trip to Fiji to go and present at a wellness conference, was it? And a retreat. And then you said that by turning that down, it actually supercharged your self-worth. I would love to learn. Can you just go into the story a little bit for the listeners who haven't read that? And then what the lessons were from that experience.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought this one up, because this was something that played out over a week, and I did so much personal growth and discovery with this opportunity and this experience. So I was approached by a fitness company, and they were looking for a life coach to come and work with their clients. So they were holding a retreat in Fiji on one of the islands, and they booked out the whole island, and they're wanting a life coach to come and do some workshops so that their clients could go from, I guess, that physical health focus to a more holistic-based approach. And they approached me and they told me what they would offer me. So that was all, you know, all flights covered, expenses, a bit about what the retreat would be like, and then what they expected from me. And as soon as it came through, I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. How great is it to be approached by a company? You know, they've sought me out. Well, actually, another life coach in New Zealand recommended me. So that was pretty cool. And then, so I was really pumped about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I'd love to have a chat. Let's speak more about it. And then I just gave myself, I said to them, I'll get back to you in a couple of days. I just need to think about it. And I woke up the next day and I really started thinking about, okay, what are they asking of me? And what are they giving me in return? And then I was like, okay, what do I actually expect? And as soon as I started fleshing out like my own pricing and the value that I hold for my services and what I actually do with my clients and the results I get, I was like, whoa, hang on. And something just clicked. I was like, okay, I can't actually be bought by having the flights and expenses paid. You know, if they want me there, they need to pay for me to be there. So I guess I missed that out from the intro, but they weren't willing to pay me any money.
A speaker fee.
Yeah, or anything. So I got really clear on what I would expect and what my services are worth, considered what they were offering me as well, and put it to them very, very well, knowing that perhaps they would decline my offer, which they did within like 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
But then it's like the email came through and I was so happy. Yeah. I was so proud of myself for backing myself and really digging deep into what I'm worth as a coach, I guess. And it's really hard as well. And you'll find that too, Rubes, that it's so hard to put a price on what we do because it's worth more than money. Like it really is. The changes that we create and the results that our clients get, it's so hard to put a price on. So yeah, I just felt so good when that no came through. Like I've never been more happier with a no. And I was just like, yes, like Bids, you've done so well here. And as well as that, and you'll know this as well, just putting that vibe out there to the universe and the whole law of attraction. Yep. You know, if I had taken that up, I would have been saying to the universe, oh, look, you know, yeah, sweet, let's swap coaching services for a paid trip. But instead of that, I was like, no, this is what I'm worth, and this I expect to be calling in clients that are willing to pay this much.
Oh my gosh, you have just, yes, opened up permission for so many people to say no. And reading this blog, I'll link it below, you guys, like, it was so refreshing to see another coach talk about it from this perspective. Like, I've definitely had opportunities also come my way, and I can resonate with that feeling of a weight being lifted off your shoulders. And it's like, oh, and then you think back and go, wow, I really took a whole week worrying and stressing and, you know, reflecting. But it's not as though you've wasted that time. That's where the level up happens. That's where the supercharging happens. That's where you start to be really looking at these moments in your life, and it makes you stop and reassess. I love it for that, because retrospect is one of the best, you know, teachers, and, you know, the ability for us to really seek wisdom. But I am so, so glad that you put something like that out there. And, you know, coming back to that whole, I guess, essentially speaker fee, what do you charge? It's so different from a coaching fee as well. Like, you know, your speaker presence is energy, because you are there for, you know, not just like to fly over there and to take the time, and even though it's a beautiful resort, but let's be real, when you're there and you're speaking, you're on that entire time. It's not just about being on the stage. You have to network, and you got to go to the dinners. Like, it's exhausting. So if you're not getting paid for those sorts of big conferences, and obviously it's got to be aligned for you, just think about the energy exchange in there. You know, like, we're all woo-woo here. We're, you know, there's an element to all of us listeners who kind of understands, like, yes, it's not just a time money exchange thing. It's an energy. Does it feel expansive? Is it aligned with my goals? Is it a universal thing? You know, all of that. So, oh, I just got chills like listening to you talking about that. But that is amazing.
Yeah, well, it was definitely a turning point, I guess, for me and my self-worth, and as well as the value of my business, because then I went on to, after that, I went on to review my pricing for my services and was like, right, I really need to check in here and increase them.
Yes. Oh, so good. That's why you supercharged your self-worth. There it is. So as a goals coach, Bids, what would be one of your top tips that you have for those that are side hustling, that are managing often like a full-time job, a 9-to-5, and then really wanting to expand their time to work on the things that they want to? What would you give in terms of, you know, your top piece of advice to make that, make things happen?
My top advice would probably be really checking in with your strong foundation. So I work with strong foundations with all of my clients in my group coaching as well as one-on-one. And that is things like morning and evening routines and those holistic health goals as well. Because if you don't have a morning and evening routine that's serving you, that's setting you up for a really productive and energetic day, then you're not going to be able to tick off what you want to. You know, you're going to end up burning out, and same with your holistic health goals. So that's just not making sure that you're eating the right foods and moving your body, but also really checking in with your mental, emotional, spiritual health too.
It's everything, isn't it? It's not just, oh, these are my business goals. Like, we forget sometimes that it's like, no, the food that you put in your body, how much sleep you get, which, you know, the month of March really kicked my ass. Like, it was so heavy on me. I was so tired all the time. I really felt I just had to surrender into working out. What was it about the body stuff that I wasn't, that I was almost like ignoring? Not to say I'm a bad eater, but it was almost just like, oh yeah, I might forget to eat, or I might eat and it might not be the most nutritious meal, or, you know, all those sorts of things. And I'm not one to meal prep or anything like that. So it was just like, whatever's there, I'll just whip something up. And then it came down to like sleep as well, you know, lack of sleep. March was just weird. Like, I'd just have really sleepless nights and then I'd nap for 2 hours during the day. It was just all over the shop. So, you know, I think the holistic approach is definitely something that for me right now I am researching lots about. And, you know, that, this is the thing, when things like this happen, it helps you really reassess, like, what is it that you need to tweak and change? What habits do you need to form morning and evening? So That's such a valuable lesson. Thank you for sharing. How do we find you and stalk you and be inspired by you? Where do you mostly hang out?
Where do I mostly hang out? Instagram is my go-to, absolutely. So I have the three accounts there. I have Bridget Padden. I have Gold Diggers NZ. So that's gold, G-O-A-L, not gold. And then GDNZ, the label. And then I have Facebook pages with all the same handles and websites as well.
Amazing. I'm going to link all of those links in the show notes. So definitely go and connect with Bridget. If you listen to this episode, tag us both. Let us know what you enjoyed most about it. But thank you so much, Bids, for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed it. I feel like we could talk for hours.
Oh, you know we could. In fact, I'm going to let these guys go and then we'll just keep talking.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Bids.
Awesome, thank you.
Okay, so that is it for today's episode. Now, if you loved it and you have questions, send me a direct message on Instagram at _RubyLee_. I hang out there all the time and upload my Instagram stories. Now, if you're also on Facebook, join me over at the Own Your Hustle Facebook group. You get to see more of me live and join in on all the fun as I interview side hustlers doing their thing. If this episode has helped you out in any way at all, it would be absolutely incredible if you could A, share it with another hustler who needs to hear this message, and B, head on over to iTunes and leave me a quick review. Let me know what hit home the most and feel free to request new topics for me to cover and I'll make it happen for you. Okay, until next time, remember, say it with me now, you can absolutely own your hustle. See you soon, guys.